All right, we'll go ahead and get in the message tonight. And as we are going to be transitioning this year, next week especially, into the new theme for the year, and we'll reveal what that is again next Sunday, I did desire to have kind of one last message on this idea of honoring God. And so Proverbs 18 is where we're going to be to start with. And we're going to spend some time in Proverbs 18, and we're also going to spend some time in Mark 10. So if you can find both of those places, Proverbs 18 and Mark 10. And then the third place we're going to spend quite a bit of time is Luke 14. Proverbs chapter 18, and the title of the message tonight is The Place to Honor God. And so since we are talking about honoring God, with those few that are here, we're going to honor God by, if you would, stand your feet as we read God's word. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 12, The Place to Honor God. Bible says here, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. I think it reminds me of the verse that says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor is humility. The place to honor God in heaven, Lord, we need you tonight. I need you tonight. And Lord, as you would help me to maybe get over the awkwardness of this situation, we desired to honor you tonight. I know that folks could have tuned in to really any service this evening somewhere else. Lord, I pray you'd bless them for showing their faithfulness to the house of God that you've called them to in some showing up today for church in weather like this, and then I know several tuned in. Lord, I pray that you would bless them for that and help others too as well. Lord, I thank you for wisdom that you give us, that folks have chosen to stay safe today, especially tonight. And Lord, I pray your protection upon them with this weather, and I know that there's been many accidents, and already today highways are shut down. And Lord, I just pray that you protect people, and you have purpose in all things, and so you can use these situations, the different scenarios that people are going through right now. I know most are probably just hunkered down in their homes, but Lord, I pray that you protect those that are on the road. Some have to be for some reason, and then others choose to be. And Lord, I pray that you watch over folks, especially those we know and love and care about. And keep people safe tonight. Lord, keep people's power on, and that everything would be okay. And they take advantage of maybe an opportunity to draw closer to the families tonight, or to spend that time together, Lord, to just focus on other things than the busyness of life. Help us slow down and appreciate what you've done for us, Lord. Tonight, as we just spend a little bit of time in your word, Lord, help us to realize that this place of honoring God, or this how to honor God, where we need to be, the position, how to position ourselves to honor God, is really found in a humble life and a humility. So, Lord, I pray you'd help us to realize that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I've used this illustration before in a different sermon, but I thought it was fitting tonight, in that we, back in the early 2000s, when Sandy and I were first newlyweds, we got married in 2002, and it was somewhere around there, maybe a couple years later, that we took a trip to Tennessee. Her family often would take a trip to Tennessee at Watts Bar Lake. And we were traveling there for that family trip. And Pastor Tid, my pastor in Indianapolis, offered us his Garmin GPS. And a Garmin back then was a bigger device that you would set on your dash. And it was just a GPS. These things were kind of new to society, I think, at the time. The GPS has been around a while, but for the popular demand, it was not quite so common until maybe a couple years before that. So anyways, we used it. We thought it was pretty neat until it took us in the wrong direction. Do you remember this? And it literally took us off course. We were in Tennessee, in the hills of Tennessee, and it took us through back roads, country roads, all sorts of roads, and it ended up in somebody's backyard. That was a bad situation to be in. Following a GPS and ending up at the wrong place despite our best intentions. Now, when it comes to honoring God, I think we feel like sometimes we're doing so. And we might have good intentions, but the truth is that we find out sometimes we're in the wrong place. Sometimes we find out we're not doing it quite right. And if we'll take an honest look and find that we are in the wrong place, we would find instead of honoring God, we find that we have attempted maybe to honor ourselves. We might even do ministry our way. We might even try to get our responsibilities taken care of our way. And we might do it in the guise of honoring God. We might do it in the manner of thinking we are honoring God because we're going to church. We're honoring God because we're singing songs. We're honoring God because, you know, well, we showed up to church on a snowy day. Or, you know, Brother Glenn's back there in the sound booth. Am I on, Brother Glenn? Are we working? Are we rolling good? Okay. And, you know, Brother Glenn could get to the place where he feels like, I'm just doing my duty, so I'm honoring God. I get to the place as a pastor where I feel like I've prepared messages. And you know what? Bless God. Even though it's a snowy day and there's a blizzard outside and nobody can come to church, I'm going to honor God regardless. And I'm going to preach God's word. And the whole world's going to tune in and listen to me because I'm honoring God. And my daughter is here and my wife is here. Brother Glenn is here. We had the Baileys here today and the Harringtons here today. And we might get to the place where we think, you know, we're honoring God. And you're at home, you're stuck at home, and you've tuned in. And praise the Lord that you have, but you've tuned in. And you might think, well, I'm going to honor God, and I'm going to tune in to the services to my home church. And we sometimes find, and we can go through a number of different things that we do, faithful to teach classes, prepare messages, go soul winning, clean the church, be faithful to maybe ladies' meetings, men's meetings, teen events, whatever. And we find that we have attempted to honor ourselves sometimes because we're doing it to make ourselves feel better, or we're doing it to because we think this is the right way. We make decisions all the time without praying about it. Is this the best decision to make? And then we'll even give our opinions about what decisions should be made, but we've not prayed about it at all. And so we find that we've attempted to honor God, we've attempted to honor ourselves in the guise of honoring God. In fact, John 5:44, Jesus says, "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" And Jesus was speaking to Pharisees there, and when he was doing this, he was speaking to Pharisees, to whom Jesus, the Pharisees to whom Jesus was speaking, were looking for honor in the wrong places. They were looking for honor amongst themselves. They were trying to pat each other on the back, or trying to get somebody else to say, you know what, I'm proud of you, or trying to get honor from them. And we've got to be careful with that. We've got to be careful. Because true honor cannot be found from one another, true honor must come from God. I mentioned it earlier, the verse as we were reading in Proverbs 18, where the Bible, and it is in Proverbs 18 as well, when it says, pride goes before destruction, but a haughty spirit before the fall. Everything has this prelude. Before destruction is pride. And before honor, God says, and in our text verse in Proverbs 18, verse 12, before honor is humility. I can find true honor in no other way than to precede it with my honor to God. What do you think about that? And my honor to God is actually my humility before God. Imagine standing before God with pride and expecting honor. It's not going to happen. But then imagine standing before God humble. God, Bible says, exalteth the humble. And he brings those that are prideful, he puts them down. We often have a false perception of what it is that God has called us to be. Go to Mark 10. Mark 10, verse 32. The disciples are being taught something by Jesus here regarding his death. It says in verse 32, and they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. They were fearful. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. We are going up to Jerusalem. They were afraid to do so. He said, we're going. And the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. But look at the next words. And the third day, he shall rise again. You think they heard those last words? No. They heard all the words before. Verse 35, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of? I just told you what I'm going to go through. I'm going to go through all of this mocking and scourging and being spat upon and being killed. And you're asking for a position. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? In other words, can you go through what I just explained I'm going to go through? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto him, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. And with the baptism that I'm baptized with all shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is, look at that word, prepared. Pride is so terribly blinding that even when Jesus was speaking of the most spiritually significant event that could take place for mankind, the disciples were thinking about their own significance. It's crazy. Jesus was talking about his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and the disciples were so filled with pride that they were thinking about, where can I be positioned? What's in this for me? I'm going to make that statement again. Pride is so terribly blinding that even in the midst of spiritually significant things, we often think only of ourselves. And Jesus now changes gears, and with amazing patience, he gives them instruction. He mercifully and gently dealt with them regarding this matter of pride and left a wonderful pattern for us as well. As we just read in verse 42, or in, all the way up to the, through verse 40. But look at verse 42. But Jesus called them to him, and it says in verse 41, they were displeased with James and John. The disciples were mad at James and John for what they did. In verse 42, Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Well, that makes sense. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus did not come to be honored. He came to be humbled. Now notice that Jesus didn't condemn their desire to serve alongside Jesus. He simply just redefined what was necessary for them to be there. He wasn't saying it was what they were desiring was a bad thing. He was just redirecting their ambition. James and John had gone out and preached already. They had performed miracles already. They had already sacrificed. They had already left all. They had recognition as leaders amongst the disciples, yet they had not yet found out how to really honor God. And they were laying their lives down, but they had to evaluate, were they laying down their lives for God, for others, or for themselves? And even today, we find ourselves motivated by self-interest. I find myself as a pastor sometimes motivated by self-interest. What is easiest for me? What's more comfortable for me? Or self-indulgence or self-honor? And I know that, you know, that doesn't sound good for a pastor, but come on, we're all Christians here and we're all sinners. We have a false sense of self-sufficiency. We pursue selfish ambition for the purpose of self-glorification. And we even often serve others for the honor of ourselves. And we might mask it as service for God. I'm serving Jesus. But in reality, it might just be a fleshly attempt to appear as something other than we really are. Question for you to think about. What is the opposite characteristic of humility? Now, we'd be tempted to think pride. Maybe some did. Actually, I did at first. Or arrogance. But instead of it being pride or arrogance, stay with me on this, it's really ignorance. Ignorance. See, when you're humble, you know who God is, and you know who you are, like Isaiah did, and you're humbled by that. When you realize how high and lifted up God is, holy, holy, holy is Lord God Almighty, and you realize how we deserve nothing but a devil's hell, then that humbles you like it did Isaiah. So instead of it being arrogance, it's really ignorance. It is becoming ignorant of what and who we really are, and it's becoming ignorant of who Jesus Christ really is. And there is a product of ignorance, though. The product of ignorance is pride. Because when I'm ignorant of who God is, and I'm ignorant of myself and who I really am, then I could be falsely prideful of who I am, and I could have a wrong idea of who I am, and I could get prideful about it. Spurgeon said this, I might paint, talking about pride, he said, I might paint it as being the worst malformation of all the monstrous things in creation. It hath nothing lovely in it, nothing in proportion, but everything in disorder. It is altogether the very reverse of the creatures which God hath made, which are pure and holy. Pride, the firstborn son of hell, is indeed like its parent, all unclean and vile, and in it there is neither form, fashion, nor comeliness. And he went on to describe pride with these terms. He called it a groundless thing. He called pride a brainless thing. He called pride a maddest thing. And he called pride an unstable, uncertain thing. And I mentioned that pride is so terribly blinding that even in the midst of spiritual significant event, we can think only of ourselves. I can find true honor in no other way than to precede it with my honor to God. And my honor to God is actually my humility before God. So where is this place of honor? Look at Luke 14, please. Let's step outside of camera view for a second just so I can get a tissue. Or maybe I walked closer to camera view. I'm not sure. Luke 14. By the way, I appreciate everybody's comments today on the Facebook page. And my mom said I'm really going to get it for my comment this morning. It wasn't me that said this. It was my friend. Stuck up for my mom, maybe. I'm not sure. But anyways, it was fun reading people's comments, though. So go ahead and place a few more and just interact. That's fine. So where is this place of honor? How do I position myself? A better way to put it is, how do I position myself to better honor God? And I mentioned our theme verse for the year, 2024, was out of 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, where God said, "Them that honor me, I will honor." And so that could be a quick, easy answer. The place to find honor from God is really just to honor God first. That's true, but how do we do that? Luke 14, verse 10. Look what Jesus said, talking to those that were listening when he spoke a parable. And he's teaching on humility here. He said in verse 10, "But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, and when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher, then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Luke 1:52 says, "He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." Proverbs 25, verse 6 says, "Put not forth thyself in the presence of thy king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, Come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen." This is what Jesus was teaching on humility, and we find it all throughout the Word of God. And let me say this before we go on: this is not a fake humility. This isn't something that you conjure up. It's not a feigned humility. It's not a putting on of airs. And acting like of worthlessness so you can have advantage or a perceived advantage that it might provide. It's not attempting humility. It's not, I'm going to be humble today, so I'm just going to act meek and lowly and hope other people notice, because that would be a motivation of pride itself. But this is actual humility. Attempting humility and actual humility are miles apart. Humility defined simply as this: an accurate view of oneself. Like John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a powerful, powerful man, yet he understood who he was and who Jesus Christ was. John the Baptist, go to Luke 3, please. Not too far over to the left. Go to Luke 3, verse 15. He was a powerful man. He had a following. He was a manly man. But he understood who he was. And he understood who Jesus was. In Luke 3, verse 15, "And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not." I mean, he was so great. People were like, This has to be the Christ. I mean, before Christ was popular, he was alive, but before he was known in his public ministry, people had been waiting for the Messiah, and they thought, this might be John. That's how great he was. But John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He didn't attempt to put on any sort of humility. He just honestly felt that way about himself and honestly felt that way about God. He wasn't being dishonest even about it. He was just saying, look, God is awesome. He is so high and lifted up. I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoes. And neither are we. We're not worthy to serve God. I'm not worthy to stand here and preach out of God's word to a handful of people that are here alive and a handful of people who've tuned in online. I'm not worthy of doing so. And we're not worthy of doing anything for the Lord. And we have to understand that we're privileged and we're honored. We are honored to honor God. To attempt to put it on is most likely the nearest thing to pride that somebody can display. We've spoken recently on pleasing God in hard times, even in trials. We've spoken recently about how all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It is often through these hard times that God does a work of breaking us down. It's often through these difficulties that He places us in somewhat of a furnace of affliction so that He might then prepare us to be in the place where we can honor God. And at times you might wonder why God appears to be against you. Sometimes you feel like maybe nothing's working out right. Everything you try to do fails. All of your ventures have bad success. But it might be this. The reason might you feel that way might be because God's trying to do a work on your heart, trying to break you down, but you remain unbroken in God's attempts to humble you, and you thumb your nose at God. Could it be that God's plan to exalt you is messed up by your desire to exalt yourself? It would do us a lot of good to allow ourselves to be instructed and broken and rebuilt by the only one who can grant true honor, and the only one who can grant true honor is God. And there might be a lot of reasons why God humbles us. I don't know all of the reasons, but one of the main purposes is what ought to be our purpose for life. Our purpose for life ought to be to honor God. Amen? And if that's our purpose for life, then God is always working on us, trying to get us to the place where we can see Him for who He is, and see ourselves for who we are. So He's trying to break us down to a humble place to where we have nowhere to look but up. And when we see God for who He is, we have to honor Him. So sometimes all God's trying to do is get us to a place where we realize, I have nothing to be prideful of, but I have every reason to honor God. And when we honor Him, He'll honor us. And the best way to honor God is to allow Him to humble us. In other words, God humbles you so you can honor Him. Ultimately, amongst all the reasons that God humbles us, the main reason is to bring honor to Himself. Listen, any amount of honor you or I get is ultimately for the purpose of honoring God. And it's not because of us, it's because of Him. And if God's humbling us, it's possibly because He needs to bring us to the place where we realize we need to honor Him and stop honoring ourselves. And if God is honoring us, it's not so we can say, look at me and look at what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. It's so you can say, look at God. And look what God has done. And look at what God has accomplished. So the place of honor begins with humility, is what I'm saying. It begins with humility. Or what I said earlier, the place of honor begins at the bottom. not at the top. It begins at the bottom. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. Go to Matthew 23. Number two, the place of honor begins with service. The place of honor begins with service. Matthew 23, verse 11. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. It's kind of like when a pastor has all these goals and ambitions for Vision Sunday on January 5th, 2025. Excited to show all of God's people, Northwest Baptist Church and everybody in the community of Leavenworth, the vision that I've planned for 2025. Only to have three people in church tonight because of a snowstorm. Let me tell you, it's a little humbling. A little humbling. Almost like God is saying, yeah, I'm in control. I'm in control. The place of honor begins with humility. It begins at the bottom, not the top. The place of honor begins with service. So what do? Not serve God because of a tough situation? Not honor God because there's snow outside? Or go ahead and preach a message to just a few people and those that might be watching online? And who knows, but God might use it in the heart of one individual to help them get to the place where they realize, I've got to honor God with my life and stop honoring myself and stop doing things the way I want to do it and start realizing God has a plan, God has a purpose, as we preached about this morning, and get to that place of honor. Realize it starts at the bottom, not the top, and place of honor begins with serving, not with selfishness. Because number three, the place of humility comes with many advantages. Go to 1 Peter 5. See, it's better to be humbled than it is to be exalted. When you're humbled, you are now positioned for God to do something wonderful. If you exalt yourself, you've taken yourself out of position for God to do anything at all. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. We talked about God's power this morning. He is powerful. God's hand is mighty. And so allow yourself to be humbled under his mighty hand. I just picture him pressing down on me, just making me smaller, just pushing me down. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Why? That he may exalt you in due time. But in order for him to exalt you, you've got to let him humble you. Luke 18:14 says this, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Think for a moment of what is available for those who walk humbly before God. I got to go through this part quick, and I'm going to read verses to you. If you can get to it quickly, great. Mark it down, write it down. This is good stuff right here. Just, I want to talk about for a moment what is available for you if you'll allow God to humble you, or if you'll walk humbly before God. Number one, God lives with the humble. He lives with the humble. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. I dwell with the humble. To revive the spirit of the humble. To revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's awesome. Number two, God listens to the humble. 2 Chronicles 34:27. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rent thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. That's great. Psalm 9, verse 12, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. So number one, God lives with the humble. Number two, God listens to the humble. Number three, God gives grace to the humble. James 4, 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. This is what happens when you, this is why I said, it's better to be humbled than to exalt yourself. Because when you're humbled, you get, God lives with you, God listens to you, God gives you grace. Guess what? I need God to live with me. Guess what? I need God to listen to me. And guess what? I need God's grace in my life. I think everybody does. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Why? For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Number four, he exalts, lifts up, and promotes the humble. Matthew 23:12, we already read it, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Number five, God considers the humble to be truly great. Now in Proverbs, we read verses over and over again where people are prideful. I'm sorry, in Psalms, Proverbs 2, but in Psalms, like in Psalm 3, where people said, they said they're going to stand against the Lord, and God said, I laugh in derision at you. You make me, I'm mocking you. He doesn't think those, God doesn't consider those who think themselves to be great as great, but God considers the humble to be great. Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And number six, when you allow God to humble you under his mighty hand, that becomes the avenue or the catalyst for true riches, honor, and fullness of life. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Well, who doesn't like riches and honor and life? Well, it's by humility and fear of the Lord that you get it. But if your motivation is to get riches, honor, and life, that's a pride issue. Just honor God, because God deserves to be honored. Allow him to humble you. You might say, well, how can I develop true humility? That's the wrong question. The right question is this: how can I honor God? How can I honor God? Just some thoughts. You honor God by looking to serve instead of being served. You honor God by looking to serve others instead of being served. Another way to honor God is to stay fresh in your relationship with God. A promise that honors God. Nothing breeds hardness of the soul like a stale relationship with God. Nothing breeds a hard heart like a relationship with God that has stopped. Stop reading your Bible. Stop praying. Stop spending time with the Lord. Stop being excited about things of God. You're going to get a hard heart and be prideful about yourself. But the more time you spend with God, the more humbled you are that you're allowed to spend time with God, and the more you honor God. Number three, find no service too small for you to do. Say why? Well, did you notice that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross? He didn't find that too menial for him. We're talking about God, who deserves all honor and glory. Number four, look for opportunities to serve that no one will know of but God. because you're doing it for God. You're not doing it for other people. You're doing it for God. You're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for God. Number five, take the lowest position first. To be humbled means that I know my worth is nothing apart from the value of Christ in me. To be humbled means I know my worth is nothing apart from the value of Christ in me. Have you ever noticed that God seems to be continually choosing instruments that are unimpressive? Vessels of dishonor and honor are mentioned in the Bible. Earthen vessels. And we have in us, in this earthen vessel, something amazing, Peter tells us. Something eternal. This only means that God can make something valuable of you. But apart from Him, there's nothing valuable in you at all. I think about this familiar poem here. "'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "'What am I bid, good folk?' he cried. "'Who'll start the bidding for me? "'A dollar, now two, only two. "'$2, and who'll make it three? "'$3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no.' Then from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as an angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" as he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, who'll make it three? $3,000 once and $3,000 twice? $3,000 and gone," said he. The people cheered, but some exclaimed, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" And the answer came, "'Twas the touch of the master's hand." And many a man with soul out of tune and battered and scarred by sin is auctioned cheap by the thoughtless crowd, just like the old violin. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Yes, we're worthless. We're out of tune. We're battered. We're scarred. We're cheap, just like that old violin. But if you have Jesus in your heart, He makes you worth it all. You were so loved by God that He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. And because you've had the touch of the Master's hand, because you've been changed, because you've been saved, there is something in you that somehow can honor God. But you've got to allow the flesh to go away, to die daily, and allow the Spirit to be renewed and be humbled by God. Philippians 2:5, turn there and we're done. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he" what? "Humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore," you know what God does when somebody's humbled? "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name." Given him a name which is above every name. Wait, look at that one more time. Given him a name which is above every name. And that's what God does. He exalts those who've been humble. We'll finish it. that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Humble, being humble. Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory or to the honor or to the exaltation, to the glory of God the Father. You have a choice. Lift yourself up or let God humble you. And when God humbles you, He lifts you up. That's the place to honor God. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful and thankful for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your patience with us as well. May we respond how you'd have us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.